W2HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Japan, where the Coast Guard there has just confirmed at least one person has died in the crash of a U.S. military aircraft near western Yakushima Island. There were six people aboard when the V-22 Osprey went down. Witnesses say the aircraft's left engine appeared to be on fire as it descended. In August, an Osprey, which can fly like both a helicopter and a fixed-wing aircraft, crashed off the coast of Australia, killing three U.S. Marines. A truce between Israel and Hamas is set to expire at the end of today, and talks are underway to extend the ceasefire in hopes of freeing more hostages and getting more food, water, and fuel into Gaza. Correspondent Lily Luciano is in Tel Aviv.
In order for the aid to continue coming in, including more than 50,000 pounds of supplies coming from the U.S., there needs to be that stopping and fighting for longer than these two extra days. So for that to happen, more diplomacy, more negotiations, and certainly from Hamas, more hostages getting across here to Israel.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill could vote as soon as today on a resolution to expel embattled New York Congressman George Santos. Last night, he took the floor.
I ask that all my colleagues in the House consider and understand what this means for the future. And to set the record straight and put this in the record, I will not be resigning.
A House Ethics Committee report found Santos guilty of corruption and fraud. They're getting an early taste of winter in the Midwest and the Northeast. The first major storm of the season has dumped up to 2 feet of snow in some spots. Rich Kerstetter lives in Washington Township, Pennsylvania.
The other snowfalls that we had years past, last couple of years, made us into wimps. We're not used to this.
There are freeze warnings as far south as northern Florida this morning. Final goodbyes to Rosalynn Carter. All the living first ladies and three presidents, including her husband of 77 years, paid tribute at a service in Marietta, Georgia. There will be a private funeral for Mrs. Carter in her hometown of Plains today. When was the last time you rented your home? If it was within the past year, it probably cost a lot more than you expected. New data show home repair and remodeling prices jumped more than 6.5%. Consultant Rick Sharga.
A lot of this is probably due to supply chain disruptions, which have increased the cost of materials and finished products that are used for repairs and remodeling.
S&P futures up 15. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the five-year average. Wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment, whether that be bow or crossbow.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. People who heat their homes with natural gas might be looking at lower bills this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says it expects a 21% drop in natural gas home heating costs this coming season. Madison-based Alliant Energy says it's because of large natural gas reserves. Also, winter in Wisconsin is forecasted to be mild. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Bucks beat the Heat in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks played fast and kept pace with the Heat and pulled away down the stretch, 131-124. Chris Middleton took over in the final period and put up 17 points, clinching the win, including two key shots down the stretch. Milwaukee now 12-5, headed to the in-season tournament in Las Vegas in early December. NFL, it's the Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs at Lambeau Field. Matt LaFleur talked about facing the Chiefs' veteran defense.
ultimately they have to go out there and execute. And that's what our guys have been doing. But we also know you're only as good as your last game. And we got one of the best defenses in the league coming in here on Sunday Night Football. So it's going to be a great challenge for our guys. Haven't gone. A couple years ago, we went against the Chiefs at their place. And I mean, they really shut us down. They do a really good job, apply a lot of pressure. They are a very physical unit.
It's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's going to be warmer today, partly cloudy, up to 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 23. Tomorrow, sunshine, high of 36. Then on Friday, mostly sunny and a bit cooler with a high right around 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our standing producer and engineer over on the board. It is hour number two of the big show, Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you on. Glad to have Luke Mathers here for a Tuesday Tangent with Luke. Always just makes the show go better when Lukester stops by. So I appreciate him. Mr. Sommers, we got a call we could not get in right before the break there because I wanted to make sure that Luke explained this in-season tournament to me of the NBA, which I don't fully necessarily understand, but I appreciate it now because basically they're doing it for two reasons. A, the players are having a new incentive because, of course, they don't get paid enough. So now they can earn more money if they win this in-season tournament, which makes them play harder in these early season games, which Luke and I talked after the segment. Again, part of the reason I've not been a big NBA fan growing up is because particularly in the early season, the players just don't seem to care a lot in quarter one, two, and three. They just, oh, now it's the fourth quarter, now we'll play. And I think he agreed with me. So this in-season tournament is to incentivize them. And also Luke informed me that now to get to the NBA All-Star game, you have to play a certain number of games in order to qualify for that. So you can't just sit out.
Which makes sense. I don't know why that wasn't a rule before.
Exactly. And also it's based on soccer, which, you know, again, I understand the game of soccer and appreciate the game of soccer. I mean, to watch the World Cup games, those are beautiful games to watch. The finesse, the talent. But what I don't get is the whole how a player can play for multiple teams throughout the year and multiple leagues. I'm like, oh, I thought this guy played for that team. Well, he does, but he also plays for that. It's all very confusing to me. I mean, you don't see Jordan Love, you know, playing for the Packers. Then in the summer, he plays for, you know, Team Quebec in the Canadian League.
Just not a thing.
By the way, I don't even know if there is a Team Quebec. It was just the first province that popped into my head. I mentioned this before. We haven't been able to find it. But one of, I got this from Jeff Perry, our friend. One of my favorite renditions of O Canada is by the late, great Jim Nabors, a.k.a. Gomer Pyle of Mayberry and the TV show Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, I've tried to look for that too, and I didn't find it.
Oh, Canada.
Maybe I just didn't try hard
we
enough.
We stand on guard for thee. Oh, Canada. People have turned off the radios now. Anyway, you don't see Jordan Love playing for Team Quebec. It just doesn't, if there is one in the CFL. And that's what confuses me about, you know, World Cup League soccer.
too many teams, players going back and forth. There's no loyalty, you understand? That's just my American take on things. Anyway, to button up this whole issue, we had a very serious and good question. That because we were talking about all that nonsense, we were not able to get Fred from Cottage Grove on the air, and he had a very serious question, a good one, about, pardon me, this issue we were talking about on in the state legislature on trying to require school libraries in villages and towns and cities and public school libraries to tell parents of kids under the age of 16 every piece of material your kid checks out within 24 hours. Fred says of Cottage Grove, he echoed and said the statement that Republicans used to be about local control before MAGA, and this is the opposite. He also asked if charter voucher schools would be subject to the same requirements, or is this just another misuse of state funds? Mr. Zomers, over the break, you took a little peek at the bill. What did you come away with?
So 2023 Assembly Bill 642, analysis by the Legislative Reference Bureau. I read through that, and it is not totally clear. It says this bill requires school boards, et cetera, and then, you know, talks about the requirement to notify a custodial parent or guardian. And then it says, under current law, subject to various exceptions and so on, specifically related to a library receiving public funds. So the only time I see a mention of public versus private is in that initial category, or in that initial paragraph. It says that the new bill would require libraries, whereas the current bill requires libraries that receive state funding. So I don't know if that's an intentional omission or not. Basically, the answer is, I don't know.
I would bet it probably is.
I would also.
And again, I don't want to put words in people's mouths. I have not read the entirety of the bill. Mr. Zomers looked at it over the break. But it appears it's fuzzy at best on whether this would apply to charters, private schools or not.
I am guessing it's yet another way to have different standards for, if you're a private school, you can teach whatever you want. You can teach that that the earth is 10 years old and that 1 + 1 = 5, and that's just fine.
I think they're probably driving home the point. There is a line of thought out there that private schools have total control over things and that they would not let a quote unquote inappropriate book in their library, so you don't have to worry about it. Whereas some people don't trust our public schools, our public libraries, and think that there is inappropriate material there. Which I just simply disagree with.
Yeah, me too. And there are standards that public schools have to live up to. Yes. They can't just put pornography in their school library. Can't.
Well, then we go down the whole rabbit hole of quote unquote, what is pornography? And you know, that's another cup of coffee and bottle of wine, which we're not going to open today. But anyway, I appreciate you, Fred from Cottage Grove, sending in that comment on the text line. Remember, you can text us as well by using the Civic Media app. Download it on your iPhone or Android device and send us a text. I want to touch on this story that's kind of making the news rounds, because I don't want people to say, oh, geez, Todd, if something bad happens to a Democrat, you don't talk about it. And I'm not even sure that it's something bad. It's just something that's making headlines, and I wanted to address it here. And WisPolitics today has a good synopsis on this based on reporting from the Associated Press and the Wisconsin State Journal. So I'm going to go through this a little bit. Feel free to call in. Happy to take your calls on it if you'd like. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I am talking about this story that is being peddled by Wisconsin Right Now, which is a right-wing conservative. They call themselves a news organization. And Wisconsin Right Now reported that it asked for all communication to and from an address, an email address within state government of warren.spahn@wisconsin.gov, which from 2018 to September of 2023. And apparently now what has come out is that Governor Evers has been using a pseudo email to do government business with. Not unlike his predecessor, Governor Scott Walker, and it appears other governors before him. And according to the Wispolitics.com. The governor's office rejected that request by Wisconsin Right Now as being too broad, saying in a response email sent November 22nd that more than 17,000 emails were found. Department of Administration released 30 pages of emails containing messages back and forth between Evers, cabinet secretaries, and others. Evers, in announcing his initial AmFam Field deal, noted Spahn was a hero. Quote, I've been watching baseball in Milwaukee since the County Stadium days when I had the chance of a lifetime to watch Warren Spahn's 300th career game there way back when, unquote. Now, the governor's spokesman said in an email that aliases are common. Quote, as a matter of digital security, dignitaries in state of Wisconsin have alias email addresses, including the governor, first lady, and lieutenant governor, as has been the case for at least the last decade that I'm aware of, including under former Governor Scott Walker, unquote. Now, and this is interesting because this is a guy that I trust implicitly, a great reporter, Bill Luders, who is a journalist, formerly the editor at The Progressive. He is now president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. And Bill Luders said this, quote, I don't know if these types of emails are common or uncommon. I do know if they're used for public business, they're subject to the records law, unquote. Evers' office disclaimer on open records releases notes identifiers of non-public email addresses are redacted, making this information available would significantly hinder these officials' ability to communicate and work effectively, unquote. Now, Evers' use of the Warren Spahn email follows precedent set by Governor Walker and other governors. Walker used this one. It was kevin.scott@wisconsin.gov. Kevin's his middle name, Scott Kevin Walker. And that's according to his ex-legal chief, who said that that was the case. So his ex-legal chief for Scott Walker has confirmed that Walker did exactly the same thing. All right? So now, according to former assistant attorney general, this guy was a former assistant attorney general under Brad Schimmel, who incidentally is going to, I guess, run for state Supreme Court against Ann Walsh Bradley, better known as the good Bradley on the Supreme Court. She's a great justice. Schimmel is a schmuck. I got a story about Brad Schimmel I'll tell later, either today or another time. Schimmel said that these types of practices of having kind of different emails like Walker did and now Evers has was, quote, explicitly discouraged, unquote. Both Walker and Evers regularly provided public records from alternative email addresses. So, again, I was in state government on and off for 20, 25 years. I can tell you that none of my bosses, either in Congress or the state Senate, ever had, you know, my former boss was the Senate Majority Leader, for goodness sake, the second, third most powerful person in the state of Wisconsin. He never had a pseudo email. It was just always dale.schultz@wisconsin.gov or whatever it was. And here's the secret. Very few legislators of either party ever actually read their own email. They just don't, because you get nut jobs just, you know, saying ridiculous things. And a legislator, their job is to be on the floor and legislate, to be out in their district and listen and to meet with constituents. They actually do very little of the casework. That's up to their staff. The legislature manages it, or the executive. So whether it's Walker or Evers, I just don't see the need for it, but it's not illegal. It's not illegal. So I guess, okay, they both did it. There, we addressed it. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. What's worse on the other side?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. I want to read you this story from the Associated Press, and then we're going to do today's segment of What's Worse. According to the Associated Press, Elon Musk, who's been under fire for endorsing an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory and wider accusations of hatred flourishing on his social media platform, X, formerly known as Twitter, visited Israel over the last few days, where he toured a kibbutz attacked by Hamas militants and held talks with top leaders, including Bibi Netanyahu. The billionaire met with the Israeli Prime Minister, the Israeli President, Isaac Herzog, who scolded him over content on the platform previously known as Twitter, and joined Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a tour of one of the kibbutzes, a rural village that Hamas militants stormed October 7th in a deadly assault that launched the war. Wearing a protective vest that again looked like a toy, and escorted by a group of security personnel as rain fell, Musk used his phone to take videos and photos of the devastation. Musk's visit came as Israel and Hamas reached a deal to extend ceasefire for two more days. And by the way, it's still the ceasefire is still going on as Israeli prisoners are being, and Americans are being released by the terrorist organization that is Hamas. The Tesla CEO and the Prime Minister of Israel visited the damaged homes of victims, including the family of a four-year-old girl with dual Israeli-U.S. citizenship who was held hostage by Hamas after her parents were killed and was ultimately released. I think this is a lot of damage control by Elon Musk, knowing that basically he got caught with, you know, figuratively speaking, with his pants down. He kind of let the truth come out on what he feels about Jewish people. And now is trying to do damage control. And of course, he has a private jet. And so he jets off to Israel and tries to do damage control. I find it a little goofy.
I find it a lot goofy.
And I also find it a little reprehensible. And just instead of coming forward and saying, look, I made a bad choice and I'm trying to learn and grow, he tries to cover this up. No. I actually am concerned about Jewish people in Israel and goes over there and does this. Anyway.
But not so concerned he'll actually change anything for the moderation of his platform.
That's the point, right, Mr. Sommers? He said something like he wants to, quote, rebuild Gaza, which I'm not even sure exactly what he meant by that. But you're right. Instead of changing, but because those of us who are on Twitter will tell you that it has gotten, we're getting a lot more bots trying to follow us and a lot more goofy content popping up that we're not liking or following. It's just kind of popping up. And you're right. Elon Musk has the ability and the money to control that, but he's choosing not to.
Yeah, I've seen some posts recently on there of people trying to report accounts that are clearly bots and trolls and spamming and with names like kill N-words, but fully spelled out, right. 1488 or whatever. And then they report it and the response they get is an automated response that still has the Twitter logo, mind you, not even the new X logo. Right. So clearly they are devoting zero resources to maintaining this, saying it doesn't violate their terms of service.
So that leads us to today's What's Worse? This or that.
Choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time now, once again, for What's Worse. No prize money involved, no trinkets given away, simply your choice to call in on statewide radio and voice your opinion. From the home office, today's What's Worse. Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving. What's worse? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse? Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? Now, I want to say this was not written by me, and this does not pertain to my family. We had a very nice Thanksgiving. There were no crazy family members at the table. However, I do know of people who had a Thanksgiving, and it's always one person, right? I mean, Ross Perot, for those of you who are old enough, back in 1992, Ross Perot, I forget what he was saying it about. It wasn't taxes, but he used the line, you know, such and such, you know, it's like your crazy aunt who lives in the basement. Everybody's got one, but we don't want to talk about her, you know, which was just a ridiculous thing to say. But anyway, we all have that one family member, or at least many of us do. Maybe they didn't join you for Thanksgiving, but maybe they did. So what's worse, Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, Elon Musk's visit to Israel or your crazy family member's visit for Thanksgiving? Mr. Zomers?
So I know your Thanksgiving this year was very pleasant.
Yes.
Have you had family members in the past who would fit the bill of the crazy uncle, the crazy aunt?
I'm trying to think.
Because I feel like most people have.
Yeah, I guess if you go to like extended family, right? Like nobody like in my immediate family, but there have been, say, like family reunions where it's like, oh, geez, they're coming or they'll probably be there. And it's like, well, just be nice, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, we all have a family member who at one time or another either very politically doesn't agree with you or maybe they just don't believe in political correctness and say things that are just like, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah, I've definitely had some of those.
You know.
Or some of my family members, extended family, will make questionable decisions.
Right.
And then another family member will make a different questionable decision. And then they'll be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And they're like, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? Right. And it just goes back and forth and they don't see what they themselves are doing.
Yeah.
And so it's a different kind of chaos.
Right. There's also kind of the, and sometimes there's the passive aggressive family member. Oh, so that's what you do. Oh, you know, it's like that.
Jeff Perry says, in my family, I'm pretty sure I'm the crazy uncle.
I'm not sure. Jeff is crazy. It's in a good way. A little more time left for you to call in. What's worse, Elon Musk going to Israel or your crazy family member that visited for Thanksgiving? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. PARTY.
I'm of two minds about this.
Text us on the Civic Media app. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to talk about it on the other side.
But. Oh, okay. So you have more feelings about this.
I do.
All right. Well, more feelings from Zomers on the other side. Also, the weirdest things you've bought at secondhand stores. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Elball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. At least one person is dead after a U.S. military Osprey crashed into the sea off southern Japan today. Reporter Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
An eyewitness reported seeing the aircraft's left engine on fire. Japanese authorities said the aircraft was en route to Okinawa in clear skies.
Negotiations underway to try to extend an Israel-Hamas ceasefire passed today to facilitate the release of more hostages. Tal Heinrich speaks for Israel's prime minister.
We are willing to extend this mechanism, and for every 10 extra Israeli hostages that Hamas will release, we agreed to another extra day of a humanitarian pause in the fighting.
Lawmakers in the U.S. House could vote as early as today on expelling embattled New York Congressman George Santos. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It's a high threshold. Two-thirds vote is needed to expel Santos, which means at least half of the Republicans have to join.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's going to be warmer today, partly cloudy, up to 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 23. Tomorrow, sunshine, high of 36. Then on Friday, mostly sunny and a bit cooler with a high right around 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, Tuesday, November 28th. Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. Happy to have you along with us. Before the break, we are asking today's question of what's worse, Elon Musk in Israel or your crazy family member who visited for Thanksgiving? And again, I said, we did not have any crazy family at Thanksgiving. It was very nice in our household. Enjoyed it immensely, everybody who was there. But I know, whether it's Thanksgiving or other sometimes family events, each of us has had a unique family member. It drives us a little crazy. Anyway, we have Cindy from Wausau chiming in. We appreciate it, Cindy, on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. From WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, Cindy from Wausau says, I would say Elon Musk traveling for a show with his crazy circus is worse. The family members that you choose, most of them of the time, you have them there. So you choose to have your family members there most of the time. Elon Musk did this simply for himself. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. I also, the thing that is concerning to me is that anytime Elon Musk does anything, it has a negative impact on the world, essentially. Yeah. You know, flying private jets, that's not good for the environment. Espousing hate, that's propagating anti-Semitism. Not moderating Twitter and just driving it into the ground, that's getting rid of a very popular source of news. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, him just flying on over to Israel to say hello and then get berated and then take some videos and come back kind of doesn't do anything about reality.
Well, and you looked up over the break, share with the folks what you found over the break there in regards to major companies now in response to Elon Musk putting some of these anti-Semitic things out there. Some major companies, many in fact, have pulled their advertising. But now, Mr. Zommers, they've gone a step further.
Yes, according to an article on CNN Business posted last night, updated this morning, major brands are not only pausing their advertisements on Elon Musk's X, they're stepping away from the platform altogether. And now we see that the main accounts belonging to a big laundry list, Disney, Paramount, Lionsgate, Sony Pictures, Universal, Warner Bros. Discovery, which is CNN's parent company, they haven't posted on the platform in about 10 days after he started retweeting anti-Semitic conspiracy theories with laughing emojis and the like, and being like, that seems suspicious.
Right.
And just not apologizing, not taking anything down, not taking it back, but just flying over to Israel to say, see, I still like Jewish people, and then continuing to.
So a lot of these major companies just say, we're not going to use the platform.
Yep. And they're just leaving.
I can't remember whether I was on Facebook first or Twitter first, but I got on Twitter primarily to find news. I use it as a news aggregation source. In other words, I follow predominantly legitimate news sources, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Politico, and the Washington Post.
Some individual reporters.
Yeah, individual reporters. You know, some Badger football, Packers, Brewers, things like that. I don't really use it as a social platform. Like, you know, I will occasionally post pictures of a family event or me going to an event, but it's like, I'm not posted on Twitter every day. Like, oh, look what I had for breakfast. I'm just not the kind of social media that I do.
You're not an influencer.
I would not. I have many things. I would not say that I'm an influencer per se. No, some people are. I would not say that I'm a particular influencer. But yeah, I use it as an aggregation source for legitimate news. And I've tried to, I'm on Threads, I'm on Blue Sky, but none of these alternates have the same ability to aggregate the news that I found so far like Twitter does. And so that's why I stay on it. But I do think it's very interesting. If you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Stoughton. CJ in Stoughton, appreciate you listening. CJ, what say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. We saw after the purchase of Twitter just who was censoring people at Twitter and paying the government to keep information from America. And that's what was proven by Elon Musk. So the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories we see are true all over the country by our universities as we educate these idiots and pay for it. Because it's pretty sad to see what's going on in our country right now. People don't know the difference between Hamas and Palestine. So the ignorance runs wild. And to hear your host say that, that this is demeaning by what Musk has done. He's exposed Main Street media that it's not what they say they are.
CJ,
they're censoring America all day long.
Are you on Twitter? Are you on X?
Yes.
Did you see what Musk actually retweeted and what he said? I mean, it was an anti-Semitic post, and he said, "Now you're telling the truth," and he liked this. It was retweeting anti-Semitism. I mean, are you okay with that?
Well, of course not. But he exposed what people follow and what they're saying. So are you okay with what's going on at the universities? The proven anti-Semitic issues that are going on by people that are here getting educated at our universities? Are you okay with that?
I think you're painting a very broad brush. And I mean, that's just the case.
Are you okay with any of it, Todd?
I'm not okay with anyone, whether it's someone of the Jewish faith or Muslim faith or what have you, being persecuted or being harassed. I'm not okay with that.
Okay with it.
I mean, we're going down another rabbit hole of a whole other issue here. We've talked about it broadly on this program before.
Well, let's talk about the issue that's facing us, not just him. I mean, you got people that are anti-Semitic at our universities that are being educated by our professors that are preaching this crap. So you want to expose Elon Musk, let's look at everybody else, too.
Well, I think number one, the segment was to point out what Elon Musk is doing, and I absolutely disagree with what he's doing. I think it's terrible when he's perpetuating anti-Semitism. And number two, we've called out on this program and other programs any, you know, whether it's anti-Semitism. I mean, we were one of the first programs that had somebody of the Jewish faith on this program and on campus. The chancellor here at Madison, Jennifer Mnuchin, has condemned anti-Semitism and all hate groups, as a matter of fact. And we've called out on this program the harassment of Hillel, the house of the Jewish faith on campus here, and protests that intimidated them. We've repeatedly called that out on this program. And certainly we've talked about in this program that there have been select professors on university campuses that have, you know, intimidated people of the Jewish religion. And we've condemned that. But I don't think that you can say that it's, quote unquote, all universities. It's just not true. And remember, you have people like Scott Walker saying that this is indoctrination at our public universities while he sent his own son to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So It seems a little contradictory, and whether they really believe what they're saying or not. So that was my point. But I appreciate your call, CJ. Appreciate you called in. Have a great day. We'll welcome your calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Always appreciate all viewpoints. All calls are taken, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. I want to move on to something turn the page a bit, a little more lighthearted, as they would say. This from our friends at Cracked.com, entitled 34 of the Most Bizarre Items People Donated to Goodwill. And I know our friends over at As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, filling in for Kristen Bry while she is on maternity leave. By the way, rumor is Kristen may be in town. That's the rumor.
Rumor has it.
TMZ reporting that Kristen Bry may be in town. I mean, that's how big she is. She has people following her. Paparazzi. She has her own paparazzi.
I'm not sure if that's true.
I like it to be true. Anyway, but over at As Goes Wisconsin, they kind of did a version of this the other day. And then I found this article from our friends at Cracked.com, and I thought it was fantastic. So asking you, what's the most bizarre item that you have found at a Goodwill or thrift store or secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. 877-268-2789. From crack.com, though TikTok influencers would have you believe that Goodwill is full of hidden gems just waiting to be found, the retailer is often mostly a smorgasbord of junk. That's not to say you can't find real treasure nestled amongst the garbage, but you have to push past the taxiderming squirrel and wallet of full of human teeth to find it. Now, wait a minute. If I was able to buy a taxidermied squirrel, if I could buy a taxidermied squirrel for like 10 bucks, I would absolutely buy that and put it on my desk. Can you? That would be fantastic. Would you do that?
Probably. You know, there's a taxidermied squirrel in my parents' house.
Is there really?
Yeah. Because my dad's... Wait,
so you have a one-nutted gecko and a taxidermied squirrel?
Yes.
That's nuts. Among
other things.
All right, very
yes,
good.
Yes, most definitely.
Don't worry
is
about
nuts.
It now. It's the moment's past.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so you have a taxidermied squirrel.
Yeah.
Did you buy it at a thrift store?
No.
All right.
It is a squirrel that my dad hunted, and it is enormous. And so that's why he got it mounted. And so in the corner of our living room, there's like a piece of a log on the wall in the top corner, just with a huge squirrel on it.
That is fantastic. That's the best part of the show so far. I would buy that. Now, some people would say that's an odd item. I would love to have a taxidermy squirrel. Anyway, back to the story. Goodwill workers and shoppers have long traded stories about some of the most insane items they've seen donated, as well as given some sound advice to future donors. Check your pockets before dropping off your goods. Good advice, right? Check your pockets. What is the
definitely
most...
knowing some of the things that are coming up. Check your pockets.
What are some of the most bizarre things that you have seen at or purchased from a Goodwill thrift store or secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Here we go. Number 34 said we once had someone donate a guillotine. We think it sold for $30. Now, I'm not even sure that around here whether they would put that on the shelf.
I think it also depends. Like, does it say what size it is? Like, you can buy a bagel guillotine.
Well, I wouldn't call that a guillotine, a bagel slicer.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, the only thing that's good for is chopping heads off is squirrels. I mean, you could do that if you were into that, I guess. But
a full-size, functioning guillotine, there's no way you can donate that to a Goodwill.
I hope they took the blade out. Number 33, literal bags of their garbage. The first time I thought it was just an accident, but no, this would happen often, usually people with an old truck and a mullet. We have people in old trucks and mullets dropping off garbage. This seems bizarre to me. Number 32, a basket of taxidermied kittens.
I don't like that.
Well, I mean, were they like stillborn or something? And or did something tragic happen? I guess you don't have to feed them.
That's maybe a question you don't want the answer to.
I don't know.
I would be afraid to learn what happened.
All right. We're talking about the 34 most bizarre things ever donated at Goodwill, according to research by cracked.com. Let's see here. Number 30, a book of the Bible for the deaf written across the cover while the rest of it was written in Braille. That kind of missed the point on that one, I guess. It really wasn't for that. Number 29, the blazer vest with a live bat comfortably nestled inside. Cute little guy. Never got pictures. Was before the age of smartphones. Got the thickest pair of gloves to carefully grab him and release him outside. A bat. A live bat. Be sure to check the pockets before you try on anything at Goodwill. We'll come back. What's the most bizarre thing you ever saw at Goodwill? 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. The Todd Allball Show and Civic Media.
.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct, going to take you to the front lines of history. History being made every minute of every day, as Matt likes to remind us. Always on top of it. An attorney, seen it all. A regular Perry Mason of the courtroom. Two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He's seen some stuff. Matt Flynn will bring you his perspective coming up right after the news at the top of the hour. You do not want to miss it. Right now, we're talking about something a little lighter than the front lines of history being made. The front lines of your Goodwill or thrift store or St. Vitie de Paul, wherever you go thrifting. It's a big thing now, by the way. My nieces are all about it. I think they buy more clothes at thrift stores, secondhand stores, than they do like it anywhere else.
I probably would if it weren't for the fact that my family has so many allergies. We've always kind of avoided thrifting because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they just put them on and wear them. I think they bring them home and launder them. Yeah.
But also, I know my mom is really sensitive to things like fabric softener.
Oh, okay.
And that's hard to just wash out in one go.
Can't just wash that out. Honey, what's the most bizarre thing that you've ever found at a Goodwill store or a secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. This according to our friends at cracked.com. Number 28. It's a little crude, but I really like it, actually. Number 28, quote, a glass jar labeled, quote, fart, June, 1975. Because who among us, either with friends or family, like, oh my gosh, you should bottle that. Like, that's toxic, you know?
Right.
And so somebody
and someone
just,
did it. Someone allegedly.
I hope to goodness they didn't open it. But yeah, someone donated to Goodwill a glass jar labeled, quote, fart, June 1975. Don't open it up. I bet it did not age well. So let me see. Number 27. A three-man tent. That doesn't seem so odd. All poles, excellent condition, complete with, I can't read this. Let me see. Complete with dirty underwear stashed away in one of the pockets inside the tent. Soiled underwear. I'll put it that way.
Excellent.
Again, check the pockets. I mean, why would you save that?
I can't imagine.
I mean, just throw it in the campfire or the garbage.
I have packed up and set up many a tent in
You're an Eagle Scout.
Right. And proper tent care, even if you're not trying that hard, you don't just pack it up wet and full of stuff and leave it. Like, it's not going to fit in the bag. Yeah, full of crap, literally. Like, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
I feel like when you set it up to dry it out the next day, you're going to notice there's something in the pockets and that your tent smells really bad.
Yeah, it would be bad. What's the oddest thing you found at a Goodwill store or any other secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. according to our friends at cracked.com. Number 26, a little coarse, a shoebox of used and unopened condoms was the worst of it.
That's pretty bad.
Who saves these things? Number 25, old porn DVDs donated with a crock pot full of moldy bean water. Now, I don't think they're connected.
I don't think so either.
But apparently this person donated old porn DVDs, but in the same box was a crock pot, which apparently they cooked beans or something and put it in there to like soak, and then just forgot to dump it out and donated it.
Man.
Yeah, it's all very odd. What else we got here? Again, if you have something that you have found odd, give us a call. What's the oddest thing you've ever donated or found at a secondhand store? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Almost forgot my number.
I haven't found anything like that. I think the weirdest thing that you see regularly is just like lingerie being sold at a Goodwill. I'm like, please, come on. Right. We've talked about that before, but like, don't buy that used.
Don't buy that used. Yeah. Here at number 24, a trio of mariachi band figurines that were made of prunes. Now, I love a good mariachi, but I've never seen them like figurines made of prunes.
This seems like a curious item.
Yeah, it was. Number 23, I was volunteering at a Goodwill once, and while sorting donations, came upon an urn that still contained the ash of human remains. No.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I mean, one of two things. Either A, you brought mom and dad home from the crematory and set them on the shelf or put them in the basement and just forgot, and they got put in a box and just got given away. Or B, you really, really didn't like that person, and instead of putting them in the ground or wherever to peacefully rest in peace,
Just sent them to Goodwill. Or maybe someone bought a storage unit and was like, oh, here's some random pottery.
Right?
And then just donated it.
Now that happens. Like people will rent storage units and then they'll either pass away or become incapacitated or just quit paying the bill. And so what they'll do is these companies like U-Haul or whatever, they'll hire an auctioneer and they just open up the front door and you can look into it. You can't open, you just look in. And then they auction off. You might get $10 for it. You might get $100, $200. But then everything in there is yours. And you go through it and you open this up and there's Aunt Sally.
But not your Aunt Sally.
Not your Aunt Sally. Oddest things ever donated to Goodwill, according to crack.com. Says, number 22. I don't work at Goodwill, but my brother once bought a rock he found on the shelf there for $11. There was nothing special about it. Just a rock. Number 21. My brother used to work there at Goodwill, and one time someone donated, probably by accident, a pair of fake breast-like ones that people get. Anyway, he got a bit of a kinky idea. He was a skinny dude walking around with some D-cup breasts. Turned out, it looked great.
All right. Good find. Right,
but number one, let's quickly do, can we get to number one here in time here? Number one, the guy brought in a metal dance revelation pad that looked like it was harvested off an original arcade machine. There you go.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. 25 craziest things ever donated to Goodwill. Thanks, Mr. Zommers. Also to Luke Mathers. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.